We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Well, Shohei Ohtani left no gray area. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Yes, no gray area, Perloff. He came out yesterday, 12 minutes, some prepared marks, some look like maybe went off the cuff a little bit. And he said in no uncertain terms, I haven't bet on sports. Yeah. I never used an illegal bookmaker. My interpreter was stealing all this money for me. And I never knew my interpreter was gambling or had all these gambling debts.
Yeah, if I think it was a completely satisfactory answer by him in this sense. Now he's putting it out there. If anybody can prove that he was sports betting or that he knew about the wire transfers, go ahead and get him. Like, what else could you ask for out of the press conference? He had all the rope to hang himself. So if you don't trust Shohei Ohtani, which I think a lot of people don't, well, now he's letting everyone have a chance to prove him wrong, and the feds are going to interview all these people too. So I think I give him credit in the sense that if he's telling the truth, he did the exact right thing, and if he's lying, we're going to get him.
Yeah, that's true. He did put himself out there, and again, like, you can't say, and I can't take from Ohtani, if something comes back and Ohtani actually did bet on a game here or there, or might have known that Ipe, his and translator, was in all this trouble with gambling. I can't hear a lost in translation thing, right? And I know he had a different translator there yesterday, someone else who works for the Dodgers, but that can no longer be an excuse. There were a lot of things that I think slipped through the cracks, especially with how this story first came out. And I think we were willing to forgive, oh, they're in South Korea, there's a translator, the translator is lying, he's the crux of the story, he's the bad guy here. At first he was not, then he became the bad guy. And it was like all this gray and just sort of, you know, there was just a lot of questions. You can't have any questions now. If any part of this ends up not being true, what Shohei said, he definitely put his stake down in the ground.
Yep.
This, I'm a victim here, like, and I feel, and I'm shocked, and I'm sad, and I, you know, my friend has betrayed me. He is camped out in his corner, and if one part of this ends up not being true, I think it makes him look really, really bad. So he took a major risk, I thought, yesterday in not leaving any, like, well, any wiggle room.
You say a risk, that implies some form of guilt. If he really is innocent, then it's not a risk. Right. So that's, I mean, obviously, there, I think, let's get into it for a second. What are the logistical questions we have? What were the mechanics of the wire transfer? That's why I think that's the biggest risk he faced, is that he's saying, I was completely ignorant of this. I don't know. I've never done a wire transfer. I don't know exactly how it works, but it seems like there's many layers. It's hard to believe that this guy was doing wire transfers without some form of consent from Shohei. Now, he obviously, if Shohei's telling the truth, he lied about what the wire transfers were.
He didn't even know about the wire transfers. He said he didn't know any of this stuff.
Right. That's why you could get him on that. That, to me, that's the most vulnerable spot for Shohei. I don't believe that he's ever been in a casino betting on. I don't think anyone's going to find a video of him at a craps table in Vegas. Actually, that's fine. He never said.
Craps table in Vegas is totally normal.
I don't think Shohei would go out there and say it. If he was really a gambling addict, wouldn't there be evidence other than this? Wouldn't there be other stories? It feels like he's pretty confident that no one's going to catch me sports betting, which makes me believe, well, maybe he wasn't actually sports betting.
Listen, and I think he maybe has earned the benefit of the doubt. We don't know anything about Shohei Ohtani in this country. Like, him personally, remember what a struggle it was to find out what the name of his dog was? Like,
his marriage came out of nowhere and no one even understood what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to keep that part private, but the fact we didn't even know, we've never seen a woman, anyone, like, yes, there's so many things about him that are private. So it's, I don't know if that gives him the benefit of the doubt or doesn't. For some people, I think it does give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, hey, we have no reason to suspect him. And I think for others, it's like, we don't know anything about this guy. And how is a bookmaker lending, you know lines of credit to somebody who, you know,
right.
Did the translator tell the bookmaker, hey, I have access to Shohei Ohtani's bank account? I mean, they're not blood relatives. I know they had this great relationship, but they're not blood. I don't know.
See, I disagree with you on that. I think they're closer than blood relatives. he was Shohei's window into this country
right.
in many ways. So I have a lot of relatives who I barely talk to.
Right.
This guy, in the sense of, because of the language thing, I think he's way closer than a brother or a sister because Shohei relied on him for so much. I mean, I don't know how much English Shohei knows, but that interpreter could have screwed with Shohei many times over the years. Say, I'm going to make this, it's not a funny situation at all, but say there, Shohei and the interpreter were both single and they were at a bar and two women came up.
Yeah.
You don't think that interpreter is sort of massaging what the girls are saying so he gets the prettier one? I mean, I'm just saying.
Ben.
I just think interpreters, well, EJ and I got started talking about The Bachelor this morning.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that will cloud your brain.
But basically, I just think the interpreter is a huge part of his life, and I think it's closer than family. He's in the perfect position to steal money from this guy.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't possibly have a better situation.
I guess it was like a perfect storm. And for a guy, if you believe everything that Shohei's saying, it was a perfect storm for a guy who was a bad actor. The interpreter was a bad actor that he has, you know, been lying, been cheating, all of that. I guess if you're talking about mechanics of other things, I want to know how he did get access to the bank account. Is he paying Shohei Ohtani's bills? Is that how he got access to it? Is he the guy? Like, you know, we know he's like his driver, worked out together, the dog walker. I mean, it's a leap to go from those things to, and also he's the one who's like taking care of my mortgage.
Yeah, but it's not that big a leap. Look at the wide range of things he did. He was a catcher in the home run derby. He's the interpreter. I didn't even know he was the dog walker, but it does seem like, what is he not doing? I mean, it's not that far of a leap to say that he'd have access to his bank accounts. I'll bet you Shohei, okay, what if Shohei gets an email in English? You don't think that he ever put Ipe on the computer and said, answer this for me or something like that? It does seem he was heavily involved in this guy's life.
Totally. Listen, we're talking about the Shohei Ohtani did his press conference yesterday, 12 minutes, mostly read from a paper, but also at the end of the press conference, you know, basically was looking right into the camera from people who are, and speaking, it seemed like from the heart, people who are in the room have basically said they thought he was getting emotional at the end when he was talking about the betrayal that he feels like he's experienced now with Ipe and that he came across as being very genuine in those moments when he wasn't reading from the paper. It's okay. I'm not naive to know that athletes and famous people, and not famous people, but generally famous people and famous athletes and rich people get money stolen from them by people who are close to them. I totally understand that. But you want to tell me that you spend this amount of time with a guy, right?
Mm-hmm,
again,
mm-hmm.
The driver, the catcher at the All-Star game, the dog walker, all the things he does. And Shohei says he never knew this guy was a gambler at all, let alone the debts. You have no clue. And I know people can be manipulative and people can be so deceptive, and I get that. But you're spending this much time basically like a relative or like a second, like a work spouse, you know, like work husband, work wife.
Right.
No clue that this guy's gambling to the point where he would rack up seven figures in debt?
Well, that's not that much in gambling debt, I feel.
People are talking about that. Different people.
People are talking about that number like it's crazy. If this bookie knew that Shohei was right over his shoulder, I'm sure he was happy. I disagree with people who say, oh, well, why do you let a translator rack up $4.5 million debt?
Right.
Well, obviously, this bookie is not to be trusted and knew he could manipulate the situation. But regardless, I do think that it's very plausible to me. I don't know what some of my friends are betting. I have no idea.
No, but it's such a big part of Ipe's life, right?
Is it, though? I mean, I think, do we know that Ipe, how long had he been doing this? There's still a lot of mystery. I mean, it's pretty easy to lose money gambling and fast.
No, I get it, but that's a big number to a lot of people. It's a really, maybe not to you, maybe not to, you know, people.
Well, $4.5 million to me. No, you don't think that's a big number? 45 is a big number to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And like, I just take, for example, in our own lives, and I know that our lives are not like Shohei Ohtani's life, but we make bets, $10, $5, $50, whatever it is. And we talk about it all the time because you get invested in your bets. Like people want it. You end up talking about it when you're at lunch, around the water cooler, whatever it is. And I'm just surprised that Shohei would say he had no idea that Ipe was into sports gambling.
But the former Jaguars employer I keep coming back to, he deceived everyone for years and lost $21 million, and he didn't have Shohei over his quarter.
Right.
I
He was using a company credit card, though. Like, that was a tiny
He got away with it for years. Yeah. No one around him. I mean, listen, but he was flying private jets, and none of his friends or fellow coworkers were calling him out on that for a long, long time. I just think that gamblers can hide things. I think addicts can hide things. I think people can hide things. I tend to believe that we don't really know anybody. So, and even this guy close to him, it is conceivable. What I like about Shohei, you will admit, though, that Shohei put it out there now. Now there's no gray area. If we catch him doing anything, then Shohei sort of set this up to get him kicked out of the game, which I know I said yesterday, MLB will protect him any way they can because he's the meal ticket for the sport right now.
No doubt.
But now Shohei kind of ended that because he said, I never bet. Now if anyone can prove he bet, then it's over for him. The other thing, too, if Shohei's such a big bettor, wouldn't there be other bets going on? Wouldn't there be other people who knew Shohei bet? Wouldn't he bet with a different bookie? Wouldn't he bet legally in Vegas at some point? If he had this kind of problem, isn't there going to be some other kind of evidence trail?
Well, that's what I'm saying about the translator.
Yeah.
I don't know how Shohei could say, I had no idea. When you're in it this much, isn't it a part of your life that people might pick up on?
But maybe the translator was doing it all in English and Shohei really didn't understand
it. It's true. It's possible a million different ways. Now, there's another part of this that I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm curious if you think so as well. Pete, can we play cut four, please? This is Shohei from yesterday. So this is a little of the TikTok of when ESPN and the LA Times got a hold of the story. The story being that a bookmaker in Southern California got busted, and the feds are investigating, and then found some wire transfers that had Shohei Ohtani's name on it. So here we go. Now the reporters are on the trail, and Shohei says his translator, Ipe, never told him about a media inquiry, like a request that came in about the betting.
Last weekend in Korea, media has reached out to a representative in my camp inquiring about my potential involvement in this sports betting. Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry.
Okay, you want to know who else got a media inquiry? The Dodgers and Shohei's agency, which is CAA, Creative Arts. Why didn't anybody from any of those other places, like the Dodgers or like CAA, why didn't they go to Shohei at that time and say, hey, we got this massive story that you might be linked to that could be coming down the pike. We got to talk about this. And instead, they continued to go to Ipe. Not only that, somehow one of Shohei's representatives like allowed Ipe to talk to ESPN's investigative unit for 90 minutes. Why didn't anyone go to the source of Shohei himself? You have other people who speak Japanese on the team. I don't know if they were with him in South Korea. I assume this is the man yesterday who was Shohei's new translator. David Sampson, the former president of the Marlins, is going to join us in about 30 minutes. This is what I want to know from David Sampson. Why didn't anybody from the Dodgers, why did the team still sit back and not go to Shohei directly and say, either with the translator or not, we got to get in a room with you and ask you about this situation. We can't just let Ipe do an interview with ESPN's investigative unit. Well, I don't get that.
It seems obvious to me, though, the Dodgers had no idea what was going on. They didn't understand the situation.
Okay, but shouldn't they have?
First of all, you're giving the Dodgers a lot of credit. There was clearly a lot of haze around this story. No, I don't think. Maybe they should have, but we don't really know what they knew. It's not like they said, I'm not sure the Dodgers willfully volunteered this guy up to the press. I don't think they understood what was happening. Also, they were in Korea, right?
Yeah.
There was a lot going on. The season was about to start. I'm sure that they did not get a handle on this story until it was way too late.
Oh, well, that's obvious. Yeah. They definitely did. But I think when I think of the Dodgers, I don't think of the Mets. You know, the Mets to me are a bumbling, stumbling franchise that I'm unfortunately a fan of, and they will always screw this kind of thing up. To me, the Dodgers, I know they're not perfect, but one of the gold standard teams. I put the Dodgers up there with the New York Yankees as the type of teams that have the money and the resources and want to do things in a certain way. And you had the entire Dodgers contingent who's in South Korea. So you had the front office who was there. You had plenty of people who, like, this is not an inquiry about your backup third baseman. You know, this is ESPN and the LA Times coming with major questions about your star player. That cannot slip through the cracks. I think the Dodgers look terrible here.
I don't know. I think they have the same problem. The translator, like, they don't. It's not a normal player because he has a guy who's speaking for him. I think there's a lot of mess. And also the Dodgers. Dodgers have a really dicey last 20 years. The whole Frank McCourt thing. Like, there's a lot going.
Well, no, I think the Trevor Bauer.
And by the other thing too, the Yankees are also. I don't know if the Yankees have everything under control either. I think you're giving them way too much credit. I think they have the same translation problem that a lot of people are. In the movie Lost in Translation. Reminds me of it. It's imagine if we had a coworker here who had a translator. You think that person we're going to be able to communicate as easily as the other people?
No, but I would imagine if all of a sudden the New York Times came knocking on the door and said, "You know what? Your coworker has been stealing all this money from another coworker." I think the bosses might get involved there. I think they might want to say, "Hey, we want to hear straight from like the horse's mouth, if you will." So anyway, that was just one of the other TikTok things that I thought. I took away from this, like, where was the team? Where was his representatives? Imagine how much money Shohei Ohtani is paying CAA in fees.
Right, but
representation fees. Where are they?
See, it feels weird to me to blame the Dodgers. I mean, who cares about CAA? But to blame the Dodgers, like, the Dodgers are 100% a victim in this. I mean, they got screwed over by somebody here, either Shohei or the interpreter.
Oh, that could totally be true. But also, they seem so 10 steps behind, or 10's too many, at least 3 steps behind.
Like, but they clearly didn't understand what was going on.
And the reason why it's important, I think, that part of it, we're talking about Shohei Ohtani, that part of it I think is important is because there was one story that got out first because Ipe got to the media first, which was Shohei covered my gambling debts. Then the story changed so dramatically that I disavow that story, and actually, you know, Shohei Ohtani is the victim of this massive fraud and theft. The story changed so dramatically, it makes Ohtani look bad. And that's why this is such a big deal. That part of it is such a big deal. If you're the Dodgers, you got to wrap your arms around this thing a little bit more, go straight to Ohtani himself, as opposed to letting someone continue to speak for him, literally, and it's making him look terrible.
But I know, I think he ended all that by looking to a mic yesterday and said, "I never bet on sports." So, I mean, maybe he's lying. If he's lying, that's one thing. But I think whatever happened last week is ancient news, because he basically said, "I never did any of this." And now it's up to anyone, maybe a reporter or the feds or somebody with authority, to prove him wrong. See, I think all that confusion last week, none of it matters anymore, because he came around and said, "I never bet on sports. None of this happened." So either he's lying or he's not. Do you believe? I feel like I'm an idiot, but I believe him.
You can believe him. I mean, that's not wrong. You can believe him. But the thing is you're saying that's all we have left to know about the story.
Right. None of that stuff from last week really matters. Unless
about how did Ipe get access to the bank account?
Yeah, yeah.
Did Shohei actually know it was going to the bookie? I guess that would mean he was lying yesterday. So, but how did he get access to the bank accounts, I think, is the number one thing.
Yeah. And did Shohei ever bet on sports anywhere? See, I think, like, Shohei can't be that careful. If he was really out there betting on sports, he said, "I never bet on anything."
Right.
Ever. Any sport. So if that's not true, if he actually is a bettor, don't you think somebody could prove that?
And 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Also, and again, I don't want to be somebody. I don't want to be this person. I'm just saying, I noticed this yesterday. New translator was a little nervous. Real nervous. And I imagine it is probably a difficult job, but to be honest, and this is where I'll go to the Dodgers, we need UN-level translators now. You know, this guy might be great. I don't know why they didn't give him a copy of the document that Shohei was reading off of so he could at least follow along and make notes. Instead, the guy's like writing it all freehand. It's a big deal. You know, you got your star player. In some ways, the one thing I felt bad about Ohtani, if he really is totally innocent, he's got to feel like he's in a fever dream right now. He's all the way across the world from his home, talking and trying to implore people to believe him. And it's like the dude next to him, he's all at the mercy of the guy sitting next to him and what he says to the media. Like, can we get a UN-level interpreter for Ohtani right now? Is that too much to ask?
I don't know. This guy seemed fine to me.
You didn't think he seemed nervous?
Well, maybe, but it seemed like he translated him pretty faithfully.
How do we know? I have no clue. Well, he's writing it all down freehand.
Okay, how do we know? If the guy was, there are enough people out there who are following that press conference, I think it would have come out if the interpreter was freelancing.
Well, I'm just saying.
I think enough people who spoke Japanese and English could have watched that.
See,
I don't think the interpreter had wiggle room to really define his own story here.
Okay, but I mean, do we know that Ipe was telling the, you know, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ipe could have been lying for years.
This is at the crux of this whole thing. I want somebody who's like translating between like heads of state.
That guy seemed fine to me. I don't know. I was actually surprised. One thing, I kind of believed, I feel like an idiot. The way Shohei was talking, he seemed kind of genuine to me. I don't understand Japanese,
right.
But it didn't seem
body
like,
language,
it didn't seem like he was searching for words. He was less like, I didn't do this. You know, he seemed, I watch a lot of Law and Order. I probably would have believed this witness.
But you did spend a month on jury duty.
Yeah, there was no ambiguity in anything. He wasn't,
yep,
he wasn't looking for words. He's like, I did not do this. Leave me alone. In Japanese.
Yeah. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, so you got Ohtani, put himself out there. Do you think this is going to backfire? And do you have any questions left? I think we pretty much hit everything that he said in those 12 minutes. I'll give him credit, a lot of credit for this, which is if he is telling the truth and this all got translated correctly, guy came right out about it. This will no longer be an issue for his teammates. I think he did the right thing by them and by the clubhouse. And he was forceful. The only thing he didn't answer is how did Ipe have access to his bank accounts? Well, maybe we'll get that answer. 855-212-4CBS. Lots to do, including a scare last night for Iowa. It came down to the wire for Caitlin Clark. Was she the hero, though? Get to that in a moment. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Quick update on my viral tweet the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It's up in the 18 millions or something. Now I've become the anti-Caitlin Clark person on Twitter. Because last night when she was stat padding at the end of the game with the free throws, I pointed it out. But I got to tell you, America's with me because the officials single-handedly handed that game to Iowa last night. There was, what, 9 calls? They favored Iowa in the last 3 minutes. The home crowd got to them. I'm just saying, the funny thing, Maggie, you know I love Caitlin Clark.
I know.
But I seem to be being positioned as, someone said, Stu Mandel, a friend said, is this Skip Bayless and LeBron James? Are you going after Caitlin? There is a backlash against Caitlin. I'm seeing it big time because she complains about calls.
Well, definitely.
And she's a little cocky. So it's a little, it reminds me of Steph Curry a little bit. Like, we all love Steph Curry, but he could be a little petty. And Caitlin seems to be going there. The thing is, we need Iowa to keep winning, Mag. And I was nervous last night.
Yeah, definitely nervous. West Virginia was not messing around. They were physical. They were getting second chance opportunities. They were turning Iowa over. I mean, this was Caitlin Clark's last game, though, in that building.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty special. But, man, was, I can't say they deserved to lose. They didn't deserve to lose Iowa. I don't think the officials handed it to them like that. But it's nervous time. And if you look at South Carolina and how they're blazing through their first games, and you look at Iowa, it does not look the same. I mean, Iowa's struggled here.
I'd have thought when you go up against Iowa and all this media attention, you bring your A game. It's kind of like playing the Dallas Cowboys. They have a target on them. Not that anyone wouldn't play their A game in the NCAA tournament, but you feel, I noticed Holy Cross was playing out of their mind the first quarter. I think you get up for this game, and I think that's part of the issue with Iowa is, I mean, they're seeing, obviously you're going to see everyone's best game in the tournament, but I thought West Virginia looked really hyped for that game, and I mean, and Caitlin Clark's not shooting well either.
No, she's not.
Because they're covering her 50 feet from the basket, she's getting face guarded, so it's been frustrating.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, the book is out now about Caitlin, and it's not like she's not scoring at all, but these are not the looks that we were seeing that really catapulted her to superstardom.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, she had over 30 points last night. It's not she's doing nothing, but she's,
it's not efficient, though.
You're right. She's getting tough shots. It's hard for her to get good looks right now because the defenses are focusing on her. Man, but I got to say, I'm not anti-Caitlin Clark. I just say that. I love Caitlin Clark, love Iowa, want to see them advance and lose to South Carolina.
Oh, boy. Perloff, that's going to get you in trouble. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. Good morning, Bogues.
Good morning, guys. Those headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. So call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. The other second round game in the Albany 2 region last night, tight as well. Second seeded UCLA surviving number 7 Creighton 67-63. The Bruins were down 10 in the third quarter. They'll face LSU this weekend in Albany. That winner gets the winner of Iowa-Colorado for a Final Four spot. USC, meanwhile, the one seed in Portland 3, had an easier evening.
Watkins right in the middle of the lane can rise up and knock it down. Padilla found it with a long pass. Juju flashed right to the middle of the key. Turnaround shot is good. And Juju has 21 to go along with 8 rebounds.
That's from 790KABC. Stud freshman Juju Watkins, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists in the 73-55 decision over Kansas. The Trojans now face Baylor in Portland on Saturday. Whatever the swivel hip drop tackle is, it is now banned in the NFL. Owners passing that rule change reportedly unanimously yesterday at the league's annual meetings in Orlando. NFL Executive VP Troy Vincent has said he expects more fines after the fact, not actual penalty flags for this. Defensive players, as you might guess, are not fans of this decision.
Wait, he said more fines than penalty flags?
He thinks it's going to be like the rules with using your head on tackles, that it's gonna, people are going to get in trouble for after the fact. It's not going to be called live in the moment.
I would love to take a bet with him on that. I know we're talking about betting a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think he does have some empirical data that in the last 2 years, I think when the rule has been different, players are getting those silly fine letters. They're not getting called for putting their head down and drilling guys.
Oh, every Monday we have a headline. Oh, there was no flag thrown, but he did get a fine. That happens every week.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. And we're going to talk more about the hip drop tackle later, but this is how they do this. And we should all remember this in the beginning of the season next year when we're thinking about making bets on games or whatever. They're going to call this like crazy in the beginning of the season. I think they're going to do that and they're going to set a precedent like this is what it is. This is what it is. It's going to be a quote unquote point of emphasis.
Right.
And then they'll phase it out a little bit towards them because believe me, it's going to be a controversial call that's going to swing a game. We can book it right now, and then they'll sort of fade it out, and then they'll start giving the
like
fines.
Like crazy. How much you expect?
2 a game.
Oh.
No, see, I think you're overestimating how often these type of plays happen.
Okay,
it's not like pass interference or holding where it's going to be there, and they're like, we're calling this. It needs to happen for it to be called, which is why I think it leads to this idea of it's going to be more about fines.
Okay,
They're not doing this in every tackle in a game.
Sure, I get that, but let's just say, would you say there's probably one horse collar tackle per game?
I don't think so.
I don't know about one per game, but maybe at half.
Or maybe one that could have been called.
One every couple games.
I think
those are obvious.
I think this is a little, it's like being compared to the horse collar tackle.
It's much harder to see, though, than the horse collar tackle. Because a horse collar tackle, obviously, you get your hand up in the neck.
This is more frequent than a horse collar tackle.
Well, I'm just saying it's being compared to that. I think there's one horse collar tackle a game. If you sat there and watched every game on Sunday or one that should have been called that doesn't get called.
Anyway. There are a lot of horse collars, though, that end up being like we think they're horse collars, but then we realize the guy grabbed the jersey.
Yeah.
Something
and then there's
like that.
Somewhere like we don't think it's a horse collar, but then we look at it and replay, oh, actually it was. So maybe that's kind of like screwing up my head in terms of how many there are. I just feel like this thing that they were showing yesterday, I see all the time.
Yeah,
right. Like it's not something like this is gonna happen. I agree with your point that this is gonna happen a lot. How they call it is gonna be interesting, but we'll talk about it later. But I'm not too thrilled about it.
Yeah, same.
Well, also we're doing the one hit wonder bracket still. Isn't Swivel Hip Drop one of the songs from the 70s that got on here? Funky Town and the Swivel Hip Drop. It's a dance move that we're all very familiar with.
It's an 11 seed.
Niners GM John Lynch said yesterday, wideout Brandon Ayuk is not on the trade block. Instead, they are working on an extension with him as he enters the final year of his rookie deal. And great news for Pete and his Jet fan friends.
You know, if we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. So it's possible that he could do it here. From his standpoint, it's probably better if he changes faces and gets to a new place.
So that's owner Woody Johnson. The first sentence is the key. If we can't trade him, we'll keep him. He's talking about Zach Wilson. So your days with Zach hanging out in the QB room, maybe not done just
yet.
Well,
what do you want him to say? Oh, he's a bum. We're going to try to get rid of him as fast as we can. He's not going to say that.
He can't say that. But he can't say what he said, though. That was the definition of hustling backwards. The definition. Because nobody in their right mind thinks that Zach Wilson has any value. So putting out there this, like, almost like empty threat that, oh, if you guys don't want him, we'll just keep him. Yeah, right. He's an asset. It's yeah. like, who is that scaring?
Yeah, right.
What team is like, so oh, no, him. We can't trade for Zach Wilson. We better ante up a real draft pick or else we're going to lose out on this prize prospect. What is he talking about?
I got to be honest, too. So you got Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles at 40. You got Tyrod Taylor, who has also been injured in his late 30s at this point. If Zach Wilson's on that roster, I bet Zach Wilson starts a game.
That,
guys, I'm just saying.
I know, you're right, and that's why this can't happen. It can't happen.
It's happening,
baby. He's not going to be there. If he is there at the start of training camp, then I'll yell and scream and complain, and I'll probably do every day. So I think this is more of a strategy thing than anything else.
Wait, are you pacing yourself right now?
Well, you have to with this because I've yelled enough at it in a regular season. I mean, give me a break.
So, Pete's tired. All right, he's fed up.
Look, it's pretty obvious that he's QB number three in the room. So let them do their work and see what happens. If you get to after the draft and he's still there, then yell and complain.
That's the issue too. Is that I want them to draft a quarterback. So like, is Zach still around? What is the rookie that's the third or fourth round pick going to be a QB four? What's going on?
EJ, he's not going to be there.
They didn't bring in a viable veteran last year because they're worried about Aaron Rodgers. You think they're drafting a quarterback? No shot. But we can argue about that another time. Anything else, folks?
No, I'm just stunned by Pete reaching the end of emotions. I didn't think that was possible. He could be tapped down on a topic.
It's
like a dead end. He's got to
break
turn
in the
around
action.
And walk back.
This feels historical.
This is an intermission.
Usually you're ahead of the game with the anger. Here you're going, I'm good for now. I'll check back with you in September.
This is an intermission. You need intermissions during jet anger. So this is
drama?
An intermission. Yes.
Wow,
yeah.
Pete historians marking this date down.
There you go.
How about Pete's new book?
I'll get back to you.
It's like taking a break.
Intermission.
Yeah, an intermission
sabbatical.
From my anger.
Taking a sabbatical from it.
It's like what about Bob? Taking a vacation from my feelings. Right?
I'm a sailor.
855, thank you, Bogus. 212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Sorry, taking a vacation from my problems. Coming up, David Sampson is a former president of the Miami Marlins and has had Japanese players who had interpreters playing for his team. He weighs in on everything we heard from Shohei Ohtani yesterday. We'll do that next. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We love early risers around here because that's our life now. David Sampson, the former president of the Miami Marlins, now the host of Nothing Personal, fantastic podcast, about to go out on a live tour, Nothing Personal Live. And he joins us already in a suit. David, thank you so much for getting up for us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I didn't get up for you. Oh. I am up every day at this time.
This is what successful people do. They wake up early. They get things done early in the day. So, David, you know, we wanted to tap into your expertise here as a former baseball president who has dealt with players who needed translators. And obviously the Shohei Ohtani story takes this to an entirely new level. I saw you tweeted yesterday that you thought this press conference accomplished absolutely nothing, in your opinion. You know, people like Perloff thought Ohtani came off really well, came off genuine. Why did you say, and why do you think it accomplished nothing?
Well, first of all, I have no understanding how any advisor would have allowed him to say anything publicly, given that they're pending investigations. But if I can get past that absolute bad advice, let's talk about what he said. He simply put a face to what had been leaked out and the story that had been told ever since the interpreter started with the story that Ohtani was involved, recanted it, got disavowed, and then they've stuck with this current story ever since. So all he did was reiterate what we've already known, but he didn't take questions, he didn't allow cameras. So I really don't want anyone to call it a press conference. It was merely a well-attended statement reading.
But David, couldn't you argue that at least Shohei put himself out there? Now, if he's lying, he's sort of giving himself the rope to hang himself. Now we know this is his story. Now it's up to investigators and reporters to prove it wrong. So it seems a little more black and white to me.
Well, when you've got a story that you want to stick to, I appreciate that you think that that's your story and you should always stick to it. And we tell people all the time, okay, if you want to say that, but the problem is it's not just MLB investigating. You've got the IRS. There's an entire gambling ring that is being looked at, and money disappeared. And the biggest question that we needed answered is, how does the interpreter have access to your bank account? I've worked with Japanese players. I've worked with Hispanic players. I've worked with white players and black players. You can hear anything you want about how players have so much money that they don't know where their money is, and they rely on all of their friends and family to take care of their money. But $4.5 million missing from bank transfers. It's not like this is a cash business. You've got banks involved. You've got authentication requirements for ID. All of these steps that get taken when I wire $100. Somehow these wires went through and he knew nothing about it. It's just shocking. I certainly do hope it's true, though.
So David Sampson joining us, the former president of the Marlins. So you think that even though you've probably witnessed players who have been stolen from either by family members or financial advisors, and you've seen this firsthand, you still think this is hard to believe that Shohei wouldn't have known anything?
Well, when I say that I've seen all players, I can tell you I had players who didn't know whether they had deposited their paycheck before there was direct deposit. So I understand that some players may not know where their money is or know what the balance is in their checking account. But at the end of the day, when there's $500,000 wires coming out of your account, I'm not sure that anybody who's not a signatory on an account can do that. And my point is, Ohtani didn't address any of that. He merely stuck to his story. I didn't bet on baseball. I didn't bet on anything. And this man stole from me. And it's not like he stole cash from under the mattress. The matter in which he stole was in getting wire transfers to an illegal bookmaker. And in this day and age, banks are not just willy-nilly doing wire transfers. But all of this is going to come out. He's put himself in a position where now he better be right about everything he said.
So it's interesting. Ohtani's camp obviously let this quote-unquote press conference happen. What about the Dodgers' role in this? Can the Dodgers jump in and say, just stop talking?
That's what I would have done. People ask me, as president of the Marlins, I can tell you I would not have done this with the Dodgers background, with their sponsors in the background of their press conference room. And I love that they showed support and they made it known that Stan Kasten was there and Andrew Friedman was there. And you had players, Joe Kelly was there and Kike Hernandez supporting him. And I get when we want to support our players and be a team. I've had press conferences like this, but there's certain times, especially for me when gambling is concerned, that I'm not rolling out the red carpet for this sort of announcement when I know MLB is investigating. On the other hand, he's the face of baseball. There is nobody in baseball who should be or wants to be protected or needs to be protected more than Shohei. So I'm not the only one who wishes that this whole story is true. The Dodgers, MLB, his teammates, the union, everybody hopes that what he said yesterday was true.
David Sampson is joining us. He's the former president of the Marlins. He hosts a podcast called Nothing Personal. It's going out on the road. Nothing Personal Live. The live tour is going to be happening soon, and you can find information for that on David's Twitter handle, David P. Sampson. Okay, let's talk more about the Dodgers for a second, David, because I thought they ended up looking bad yesterday because Shohei gave us a little more of the TikTok of what happened in South Korea. So you've got ESPN and the LA Times are both now sniffing around a story that has to do with Shohei Ohtani and a betting ring in Southern California. Nobody went to Ohtani. All that Dodger brass was all in South Korea. You don't have anyone else. No one could approach Ohtani and tell him, hey, we've got two major news outlets that are coming and asking questions. They still let Ipe be the point person here. I mean, you were the president of a franchise. Do you think the Dodgers look bad or am I crazy?
Oh, no, you're not crazy at all. You're brilliant. When I'm dealing with players, let's go to something as benign as arbitration. When we're making offers back and forth to younger players, we're dealing with the agent, but we always make sure the player knows what our offer is. When we're trying to sign a free agent, we talk to the agent, but we make sure the player knows that we're interested and what we're offering. We don't leave anything up to anybody. The Dodgers have this major problem coming while they're in Korea, and Ohtani's claiming he knew nothing about it till he got back to the hotel after the team meeting because Ipe was speaking only in English and he couldn't fully understand the scope. The timeline concerns me because the night before, ESPN had word from the interpreter that Ohtani was completely involved, and then his story got recanted and he got totally disavowed by the Dodgers and MLB trying to be disappeared. We haven't heard a word from him. So I just find that difficult that the Dodgers would have sat back and said, all right, let's not talk to Shohei. We'll only deal with the interpreter. I've just never done that in my 18 years in the game.
You know, not to make an excuse, but they were in Korea. There was a lot going on. The season's about to start. I was arguing with Maggie about this. I don't know that it was that easy for the Dodgers to understand the scope of what was happening. Is it possible that a lot fell through the cracks here?
Boy, that have to be a Grand Canyon-sized crack. Mm-hmm. When you hear your best player and then you hear the word gambling and $4.5 million missing, and the LA Times is coming out with a piece that they had been investigating, and ESPN had a 90-minute interview with the translator that was set up by Ohtani's spokesman himself, I find it hard to believe that nobody knew anything. And in terms of how busy they were, I only say give me a break, and that I've been super busy running a team, but I always have time to deal with a crisis because certain things, when they come on your desk or in your ear, they go right to the top of the list. And this would have gone directly to the top of the list.
David Sampson is joining us, the former president of the Marlins, the host of Nothing Personal. What other questions do you still have, David, after the press conference? Say you're the Dodgers, you know, and you're sitting in the room. Like, what's the next steps? What questions do you still have? And how would you like them to be answered, I guess?
I'd love to know from MLB how long they think their investigation is going to last, how long the cloud will be over the franchise, because like with Trevor Bauer, and this happened with the Dodgers, they put Bauer on administrative leave, and that was the end of him. They took his jerseys out of the team store, and they just pretended he didn't exist. And then it went on and on and on, and it didn't matter. They kept pretending he didn't exist. Ohtani's batting second every single day. There are scores of Japanese reporters following him and the team every day. This is the type of story that you cannot get rid of. It continues to come up. So I'd want to know from MLB, what's your timing? MLB would like to get their investigation done today, but they simply can't. There's too much to figure out.
David, just pulling back a little bit, we have an NBA possible betting scandal last night was reported. Where are we in the state of betting being connected to pro sports right now?
And I'm associated and proudly with DraftKings, but I'll tell you right now, we're in a state of panic. And the reason we're in a state of panic is that anytime you have an issue with the integrity of the sport, whether it's with referees, whether it's with players or known associates of players, you're getting down to the core issue of associating with gambling companies that leagues had to get past in order to do business with them. And the core issue is we are not wrestling. This is not a scripted game. We don't know the outcome. We don't do anything to tell anyone what the outcome could be. There's no risk. And now, more and more, every day, we hear things where players are concerned or they're involved. This NBA story, and I'm going to discuss it today on Nothing Personal in greater detail, but just think about this. If he knows that people are betting the under on his prop bets, and he then makes sure that every one of those prop bets wins, and he benefits from that, either directly or indirectly, that's a major betting scandal. That's suspension, if not lifetime. So that story in the NBA is a very important story that we're just starting to understand.
David Sampson joining us. David, only have about 45 seconds left, so just back to Shohei for a moment. So the translator now is going to be someone from the Dodgers, right? So my question is, moving forward, can Shohei say, I want somebody new. I want a UN-level interpreter here. I need somebody who's like doing head of state type stuff, so nothing like this ever happens again.
Yeah, of course he can. When we signed Ichiro, he told us who his translator was, and we hired him, period. Didn't even do a background check. Didn't need to. It turns out Alan's an amazing guy who I would trust with anything. But Shohei has the right to tell the Dodgers, listen, I don't like this person. I'd like someone different, because you do have to be friends with your translator. You're with them all the time.
Yeah, see, that's why it also, Shohei said yesterday that he didn't know that Ipe was sports gambling. Never knew, yet the guys spend every waking moment together, had no clue he was into sports betting. That seems a little crazy to me. David, we're flat out of time. David Sampson, you can listen to him. Nothing Personal, the live tour. Nothing Personal Live gets going soon. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. All right, we got a lot more on this coming up, including Cowboys news. Jerry pulling a 180. What did he have to say about the Cowboys offseason? Get to that next. Maggie Perloff.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.